This episode is brought to you by Scion Cider Bar. With over 150 imported ciders to choose from, plus a selection of local beer, local spirits, wines, and snacks, Scion Cider Bar is bringing an all-new tasting experience to Salt Lake City. Scion offers 20 craft ciders on tap with a rotating selection that will blow your mind and keep you coming back for more. Located at 916 Jefferson Street, West Salt Lake City, right by Central 9th Market, Mad Dough, Blue Copper Coffee Room, Water Witch, and Laz's Kitchen. With plenty of room inside, a patio, and a friendly, well-trained staff, this will be the place to be. Like the saying goes, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. So I guess that means a cider a day? The more you can play? See you at Scion Cider Bar. Until the next cider, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, we are in the heart of Scion Cider Bar. Oh my God, the brand new sexy cider bar, and I'm here with Liz and Rio. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Oh, you guys,
it's been so long coming.
Rio, welcome. Is it first time here? Your chair is being popped today.
I'm super excited to be here. You and I have been talking about doing this episode for a while.
And we've had some good drinks and some conversations throughout the past year.
Yeah.
But you're finally, we're going to do it out loud. Like, people are going to know about it.
Yes. that's exciting.
Liz, how you doing?
Oh, hey, look at that.
I'm good. How's it going?
Good. What have you been up to? Like, what's going on?
Just opening up the newest bar in town in Salt Lake.
Yeah, let's get right into it. I want to know. So you guys are brand spanking new. Scion Cider Bar. So you guys, tell us the positions, Liz, what's your position in the company?
So I'm one of the co-owners and co-founders and acting assistant general manager to Rio, who is our general manager.
And I'm the general manager and eventually here before too long, the cider maker.
Hey, so cider will be made here in Scion.
That's right, in the very room we're sitting in.
No way, dude, I'm so pumped. Actual cider.
Right over there.
I remember you brought us, we had a bottle share. And you brought one. We brought us it was Green Apple, right? Granny Smith.
That's actually the first one I'm going
to
do.
So. Man. So I don't know if it's a secret, but hey, it's out. I'm excited. I liked it, dude. It was, to me, the perfect amount of tart to sweeten. Like, it wasn't actually, it was more semi-dry to dry, right?
That's right. So, like, you know, what I love about cider, and the more I'm learning about it, the more I'm tasting all these things, the more I'm going to be making it, is there's so much flavor in the apple inherently, right? So 100% Granny Smith, I get to show off the acidity that we all know and love in that apple, but in a cider form. And I select my yeast, I do all these other things to bring out that kind of feature of that apple, and that's a lot of fun for
me.
Man,
Rio, you're geeking right now. I can tell. you found something. You found like a little, this is your secret project you've been telling everyone about, huh?
I'm learning a lot, and I'm having a lot of fun.
I like this, dude. So, Liz, I got a question for you.
Yeah, I don't even need to be here.
Stop.
Rio show all the time.
Liz, how did you come across Rio, and how is this a thing? How is this place even happening right now?
A long time in the making.
Well, it's funny that you asked that. The gentleman who just walked in is Steve Rosenberg, which is who introduced us. But go ahead.
No, that is exactly where I was going with that. Yeah. Exactly. And you might know Steve of Liberty Heights Fresh, who has provided us with some cheeses
before,
we've had and cider pairings on the Taste Masters podcast before. So that's how we were first introduced, and that was about 2 years ago. Probably a little over.
A little over two.
And we got to know each other pretty quickly. Did our first Cider Con together in January 2020. Rio, Steve, myself, Matthew. We spent a lot of time together in Oakland. That was pre-pandemic days, obviously.
right before the pandemic. Actually, it was like February of 2020.
Yep. So hey, what's up, Steve? Shout out
to Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Liberty Heights Press.
We just referenced you, so. this is David with the Taste Masters podcast.
Taste Masters. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Sexiest podcast out here. So
during that CiderCon, it was in Oakland that year, Oakland, California, and we also spent a lot of time in my friend's cider bar in the Oakland side. of the Bay Area, and we kind of started to gel how the group came together.
Steve is an old family friend of mine, and I've been making cider with him at home for years and years. You know, a few years ago, he came to me and said, Rio, I got to go gluten-free. My doctor says I can't have any more of your beer that you brew. But the cider selection in this town, there's just not enough cider in this town. Can you help me brew some stuff at home?
Oh, cool.
So we've been making cider. And when I stepped back from proper in late 2019, Steve was like, oh, you should meet these other folks, Matthew and Elizabeth, who really, you know, they run hardciderreviews.com and they really like cider. We should just talk about some stuff. And then that culminated in going to CiderCon. And yeah, we really as a group started to gel, and that was kind of the genesis of this project.
That's really cool.
For yeah. sure.
It's circa 2019, is that what's going on?
Yeah, well, yeah 19 to 20. Yeah.
Met in late 19.
BP, and before pandemic days,
right.
huh?
Right. right.
I like it.
Olden times.
So, yeah. Rio, you touched on it. You used to brew at proper.
That's
so
right.
A lot of those beers are like from Rio, right? Like originated anyway, right? They can be changed for now, right?
Right. But I have a fantastic team in place after I left.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of those dudes, but I founded Proper Brewing. And the Avenues Proper was our first location with my brother, Liam Connolly, and our business partner, Andrew Tendick. We founded it, I guess, in 2012, the summer of 2012. So coming up on a 10-year anniversary this summer. And then opened our first location in spring of 2013, the Avenues Proper.
Congrats, man. So what's it like transitioning from a brewer to a cider maker?
Oh, man, it's wild.
Yeah,
because,
is it?
Like, the process is totally different, right? Instead of mashing, boiling, all this heat, all this grain, hundreds of pounds of grain, hops, all these other additives and stuff like that. You know, cider is relatively straightforward. You take juice and you add yeast. You know, and it's a little more complicated than that.
Right.
But it's more like making wine. And I'm really excited to bring a brewer's perspective to it, though, because there's lots of techniques that I got extremely familiar with, dry hopping, fruiting, some of these other things that I think is done well in the world of cider, for sure. But I think I can add stuff to it. And then the big thing I'm really excited to play with is yeast. I think a lot of cider makers, you know, a lot of the orchard cider makers out there, they just use whatever indigenous yeast is present on the fruit. And that's fantastic. I love, those are some of my favorite ciders. You know, spontaneous fermented beers are some of my favorite beers.
Oh, yeah, let's
right?
go.
So similar idea. That's amazing stuff. And then other folks use like one or two house yeasts. And again, nothing wrong with that. They're often using like white wine yeasts. Champagne yeast is very common. Nothing wrong with that. Produces some great ciders. But with my background as a brewer, I know that the diversity of yeasts is just huge. Among beer yeast, there's hundreds.
And forever right? growing, I feel like.
Forever growing.
Yeah.
Figuring out how to genetically engineer all this stuff, I don't know if I like that. But the but there's so much out there. And, you know, from my homebrewing practice on cider, I know that, you know, The most expressive beer yeasts produce my favorite versions of the ciders that I've made at home. So, especially yeasts like Belgians, but also like German Heffies, English farmhouse yeasts.
Oh man!
Really excited to come. I want to do a lager. I want to lager a cider. I want to do the whole thing, pitching a really classic German lager on it, letting it ferment cold, and then aging it cold for like the standard like 6 to 8 weeks that the brewing industry usually gives it.
No way.
Just to see what it does.
Yeah.
Might as
Who
well
knows?
Find out, right?
Yeah. Sweet Rio of mine. That's what I'm calling it right now. I like that.
Just for the viewers at home, the way they're geeking out talking about this already, you can see it's beer nerd to beer nerd. So I'm just as a bystander watching that happen live.
But Liz, what's it like watching someone who is coming from a brewer's aspect wanting to create cider that you have been enjoying for years now?
Well, I think the most interesting thing I think anyone in this town who knows Rio will say about him, he's endlessly curious about everything, whether it's drink or food. So he's always curious about the process, especially fermentation in general, pickling things, like that's his jam.
Yes.
So, I feel pretty confident in saying that. So I think it's just seeing a brewer like him, who's super respected in the community, like being open to trying new things and not immediately dismissing cider, which it's kind of struggled like in its own category.
Yeah.
Especially from the beer guys. And you've certainly come around and became a cider
you
were beer
baptized
first.
Baptized me. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's been the most rewarding part.
Well, that's been the most fun. Like, I've always liked cider. I've always had some good ciders. You know, my cider early experiences weren't limited to some of the really mass-produced sweet things. I had other stuff and always liked it. But just opening the bar has been even eye-opening because all this new product that we're getting in, and I'm just tasting stuff all the time. It's so much more diverse than I even gave it credit for.
Gotcha.
I was a fan already, but I mean, just the diversity.
Right. That's definitely true. And also, like, cider's natural place, I think we kind of actually see more as it fitting between beer and wine, because it's technically wine, right?
Sure.
It's actually just wine made with apples instead of grapes.
Yeah.
So, and like Rio said, if it's just straight yeast, I mean, that's the wine process. We're not heating anything to create cider.
So technically, I'm not brewing anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So. Yeah, you got a slap on the wrist for saying homebrew. We don't say the word home brewing in the cider world. But
I like that.
Yeah.
But what's it like to partner? Liz, have you made cider at home by yourself?
No.
Have you ever brewed beer?
I'm
you
just
made
the taste
wine?
Tester, officially.
So, going into partnering with someone who is a brewer with that background and then has a passion for cider, what's it like to, like, you bring something to the table, Rio brings something to the table, but are you going to get your hands in more? Are you clashing? Like, what's going on here?
No. I'm marketing and branding all the way. Like, I just want to bring it to the masses. Like, that's my...
She's
that's
shown
my
remarkable way. Trust, basically, is what I think she said.
I do
is
not
how
need
I would
to
say
this.
It.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is that, you know, Elizabeth and our other owner group, who are awesome, the rest of our ownership group, have really put a lot of trust in me and have really kind of let me run with my vision for this bar. And, you know, we haven't started making our own cider, but they've... you know, instilled in me that confidence that they're going to support me whatever I do. And that's really nice to feel.
Mm-hmm. It's empowering.
Yeah,
it really
definitely.
Is. You have like the Iron Man armor. Like, you just go with it. I get
right,
that.
Right. So, I think we should go into like our little bit of our partners too, just to kind of talk about
them.
So, and just kind of why everyone's got this affinity for cider. Two of the other people that Steve also had introduced us to, where Rio first introduced them to, were Jordan and Ben Riley, and their two brothers who grew up in apple orchards, and their family runs apple orchards. So.
Oh, sweet.
Right, down in Payson, Utah.
Hey.
The Riley family still growing a lot of fruit down there.
Yeah.
Like
so
that.
they're completely committed to it from the agricultural standpoint.
Sweet.
And one of them is an active orchardist who will be providing a lot of our juice.
That's right. So we're going to be, Jordan has his own orchard separate from the rest of his family up in Brigham City.
Okay.
And so he's growing a ton of stuff. He's growing apples, apricots, peaches and cherries and a few other things. And he would love to get into growing more and more heirloom fruit. You know, right now it's hard for any orchard owner to grow heirloom fruit because the money's just not there, right?
That's,
if it doesn't go to the supermarket shelves, they're not incentivized to be growing that. And that's really sad, you know? And so what we're trying to do is hopefully Jordan can help us, you know, connect with other Utah farmers, other Utah orchards, including his family maybe, and we'll be able to encourage them to grow these heirloom fruits and, you know, increase biodiversity, hopefully increase their yield and the money that they can get for their product.
And it looks like you guys are pushing that local scene too.
I mean,
right now, local is not going to be the big dick swinging, if you will, but it will be. Like, you guys are really pushing that. I like that.
Because
imagine
growing.
Your apples are coming from Utah, you're a cider bar. Like, that's really cool, actually.
Right. And speaking of locals, I think you guys might want to pour what we have in front
of
us.
Yeah, that's right. We have a really great local cider in front of us. So let's start with that. So.
And where's this from? Give me the story on this one.
This is at a place out of Torrey, Utah, down by Capitol Reef National Park. So they are technically Utah's newest cidery, functioning cidery. They opened in spring of 2021. So they've been
fairly new.
Yeah, they're fairly new. So
AP after pandemic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or DP
like,
during
whatever
pandemic,
it
whatever it's gonna be.
You're good. Yeah, actually, I haven't even tried this at a place, I don't think, in a while, or this batch of it at least. So this is the off dry. Batch one, actually.
Oh wow!
Yeah. And this is cool. So at a place are Robert and Ann. They were up here for a while, but they've owned property down. This is down in Torrey, Utah, central Utah. They bought this property about a decade ago.
Yeah.
And started. They knew they were going to do this.
Really?
They planned ahead. And they also kind of lamented the lack of availability of heirloom fruit, of cider apples, of, you know, traditional varietals that are used for cider making. So they planted orchards years ago. And that was very, you know, with a lot of foresight, because then now they're making cider out of fruit. And the fruit is really kind of like head and shoulders above what you can get elsewhere out of some of the more mass-produced varietals. And so it really, you know, this their cider is all about showing off their heirloom fruit. They don't
really
do a whole lot. They let it speak for itself. So this first one, their off-dry batch 001, anything that says 435 on their label is a batch that they can never replicate. that this is a unique batch. So they have a regular off dry that they do.
Right.
And that one's a little more easy because they can source the apples consistently. Anything that's got that 435, they won't be able to ever replicate it. It's a unique blend of fruit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So like, cheers,
my friends. Cheers. Oh, welcome. My God. I'm just honored to be here. Like, you talk. Ooh.
Mm, man, that's good. So
I do love the nose on that, too.
Yeah. Really, really nice.
See, that's easy. And Rio, you said it earlier. You touched on it. It's a nice gluten-free option. So I've been lately asking brewers and distillers and kombucha maker, oh, like, hey, if you can, you can't drink beer anymore, which I make, right? What would you do? And everyone's like, kombucha, hard kombucha, yeah. Cider. I'm like, yeah, because cider's delicious. Like, it's grown-up apple juice. Let's be real.
Yeah.
And I can get behind this, Rio.
Oh, this one's so good. I mean, it's off dry. It does have just that little bit of residual sugar to kind of let you taste a little bit of the apple. You know, the brain is funny, right? The brain plays tricks on you. If it's too dry, it can almost not taste like apple anymore because, you know, your brain is used to tasting all those other things that are left over in the presence of sugar, and that's what makes apple in your brain. And so just a little bit of sugar can go a long way to expressing the apple, but then this one has some wonderful tannin to it on the top end, kind of a dry finish.
On the back, I get that. It's like the meat of the apple. Like, I just bit in the apple and just stayed there. I like that a lot. And is that the sugar just helping that, pushing it back?
That and, like, the tannin. So, like, this one hits the roof of my mouth a little bit, right? And a little bit drying on the tongue, a little, you know, lip smacking. And that's the tannin in there. It's really supporting the central structure. And this one has something that I like in some of the ciders, which is it's almost, like, savory. It's dry enough to almost, you know, have this savory, spicy, earthy undertone that tastes like apple skin, you know? This is some of that tannin doing that. So really, really tasty.
Yeah. Well done, Utah.
Right. And what I love about it, again, like I come from the wine side, right? I'm more so a wine drinker than a beer drinker in general. I drink like 2 beers a year, if that. So,
shame on you.
Well, the beer doesn't like me as much anymore either. Not totally strictly a gluten thing. But yeah, like I come from the wine side. I drink a lot of white wine. And like to me, this just tastes like a beautiful, natural wine, which has become kind of come my new favorite craze along with everybody in the industry, just the natural wine world. This is more filtered, you know, so it's not straight natural wine, but you get that earthiness to it and that Sauve Blanc kind of feeling.
So you guys are running the bar right now. You're running the show. So when you're explaining this to somebody, what's it like to be like, hey, like, you just kind of explained a little bit, hey, man, in the wine background, this is kind of like a Sauvignon. So what's it like to kind of open palates and minds to people who are drinking cider?
Well, that's a challenge we knew we were going to face. We knew we were going to have to face down, like, a lot of education, have that burden of educating our public. Because cider has been so underrepresented here in Utah, that there's just not enough diversity to educate. For example, we were talking to our staff. We have a great staff. And we were talking, you know, if I kind of divvy up, you know, apple flavors, you know, and beer flavors, there's a big wheel of stuff. And there's similarly for cider. But, you know, several important things to talk about are like sugar, acidity, and tannin. Mm. And we were able to talk about sugar and acidity with them with some of the ciders we could get. But it was almost impossible to talk about tannins with them because we literally didn't have any tannic cider in the state.
Gotcha.
Like at all.
Right.
And now with the bar, we have a few. And so I've been able to
just a few, just 85 or so.
Well, but not all of them are super, you know what I mean? Like the ones that really show off a tannic character to be able to educate them. And we finally have that, but there's still only like 3 or 4 on the menu that really show that off super well.
So those who don't know what tannic is, try your best to explain what tannic is.
Okay. Let's see. So tannins are a big old family of compounds that are found basically in all plants. They have to do with like the plant cell walls. You know, the difference between like an animal cell wall and a plant cell wall is that a plant cell wall is rigid and doesn't move, right? And some of the stuff that helps it do that is the tannins in there. So they're kind of present in everything. Every plant you've ever eaten has tannins. But the ones that we most commonly get as a culinary experience or tasting experience would be tannins in red wine and then like tannins in whiskey or other barrel-aged spirits.
Gotcha.
So in the barrel-aged spirits, the tannins are coming from the oak, usually oak, but the wood that they're being aged in. And so, you know, they'll say like Scotch whiskey or bourbon has legs, right? It's got kind of thickness. It's got those big oak woody tastes and mouthfeel. And then in red wine, it really manifests as that kind of like drying thing that I was doing earlier, you know, the lip smacking, the kind of velvety grain, almost sandy.
That grippiness to it.
Grittiness.
Yeah. I like that grippiness. That's a good one.
Yeah, grippy is good. Yeah. So it kind of dry, you know, tannins in that case kind of dry out the palate. And so you can still have something sweet that has tannins, and people will say, like, oh, this has a dry finish. And it's a tannic finish, even though it's sweet, right?
That's so something I probably had miscued. Like, I think, interesting. Hmm.
Right, so this one that we're tasting right now, yeah, it's got a little bit of sugar, and it's got a drier finish, but really it's the tannin that's kind of doing that lip smacking.
Wow. I'm learning a lot, guys.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's so fun is, you know, like, people who think they know tannins from red wine or whiskey come to cider, and they're like, oh, these are totally different.
Yeah,
they have some of the same qualities, but they're really, you know, tannins are not all the equal across things. And
can you have something that's super tannic that is off-putting or off-flavor, if you will? Kind of like, you know, on beer, if you use something that's super phenolic, it's like, hey, get the hell out of here. Can you have something that's very tannic? You're like, I can't do this. It's almost bad.
Well, and some combinations. We'll taste the cider in a few minutes that is very tannic and very phenolic. And some people find it unpleasant, for sure. You know, so it's not everybody's favorite, but the folks who love it are devoted to it. So,
Liz, you mentioned you have 85 of these kind of...
I think we have... Well, we
how
have
many ciders do we have in this building?
20 on tap right now. Right, 20 on tap always.
80 to 85. I lost track of the exact number, but it's 80 to 85. I would guess 83, but it could
be right.
But
by the end
of this
week, it'll probably be back up to 95.
Jeez, I feel like you guys are becoming the slack water of ciders.
Hey, that's our goal.
That's fair
that's
to
really
say.
Cool. And you have this amazing board, a tap board, which is like this huge piece of wood with 5,000 taps coming out of it. Like, how are you going to keep up with that?
Well, it's a lot of fun. I'm, you know, this is my background. I've, aside from like doing, you know, beer, I also like ran the bars at Proper for a little bit. I have a great staff there, but was always changing the taps. And one of my goals, you know, the Craft by Proper, you've been out there, right?
Yeah.
Great little beer bar in Sugar House. I designed that whole draft system and installed it. The goal was always to rotate things constantly and just have a ton of variety. I'm greedy that way. It's what it really comes down to is like, I'm never satisfied. Like even now I'm like, 25 taps that we have here at Scion.
He's looking kinda, to drill more holes.
Kind of wish I had more, but no, it'll be fine. And so the, rotating constantly is what I want to be doing, you know, is what I...
Just ciders on tap? Or are we going to have beer on tap? Is there going to be kombucha on tap? Is there going to be coffee? I don't know. What, is it just cider?
So we have, right now, we have 19 ciders, one mead from a local producer, which is cool, two wines, which is really cool to be able to feature wine on tap, great wines on tap, and a couple local beers on tap, and then a weird cider wine... Beer hybrid.
Size, I guess it's true. I guess we can't just call it a straight sizer because it does have
like
wine.
Like a graph, I guess is what you... Yeah, like a graph is like a hybrid between cider and beer. And so we kind of... We have a graph, but it's closest to like a Berliner Weiss. It's actually what we're going to taste next.
I haven't even tried it, so I'm really excited
for
that one.
I'm geeking right now. Oh. So
we'll talk about that when it comes to...
I can't believe that. So anything else? Because was the original plan to do just cider on tap?
Oh, and... Our thing is, so according to the state of Utah laws, to do cider on tap, to do wine on tap, we had to acquire a club license, right? The full bar license here in Utah. And so we figured we'll do everything else as well. You know, not everybody's going to love cider coming in. So we have a small selection of local beers. We have some great wines. We have a full selection of spirits. We're starting to really work on our cocktail selection. We don't have any on the menu right now.
Ooh, be like cider cocktails?
Yeah, cider focus.
Yeah, cider cocktails, as well as some standard stuff. We'll have things. If you want a gin and tonic, we can make you a gin and tonic.
A lot of your, I see a lot of local. A lot of local spirits, a lot of local beer.
That's kind of my deal, you know. Like,
I love it, Rio.
From the Avenues Proper days all the way through to now, I want to focus and show off local products. I think Utah has so much going for it, way more than people give it credit for.
That's why Liz, you're still here. Yeah. You ain't leaving.
That's why. We had to make it more local. And I mean, like I said, up until the bar opened, we really only had the three local cider producers. We had Mountain West, the Hive Winery and Cidery, and then At a Place most recently. But obviously, we're going to be number four when our tanks get here.
That's right.
And then numbers 5 and 6 might be coming down the pike here too, from what we hear.
That's right.
I like that. Okay, I'll invite that. Let's go. But when we start making cider here, what's the ETA? Do we even know?
We're thinking we should be able to get the tanks in-house less than 3 weeks. We're hoping 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. So by the time this is out, hopefully you're starting.
So yeah, this is...
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully the tanks will be in by the time anybody hears this, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then hopefully juice will be in the tanks starting to ferment.
And what are we doing juice, local juice first off? Are we sourcing juice?
That's the plan.
Gotcha.
You know, I have three little three-barrel tanks. We're not doing a big operation here. We're doing very small. And so what's great is I can really afford to go and headhunt the fruit that I want.
Yeah.
You know, and then juice it. I only need 100 gallons to fill a tank. And so often, you know, small orchards will say like, oh, we don't have enough of that to make you that. And it's like, no, that's fine for me. That's all I want. I want, you know, you only have three trees of that varietal. I want it.
Interesting.
That's so really that'll cool. be a lot of fun.
So with that, you're going to have a lot of game, a lot of play. You could play with different flavors. You're saying I have apricot. Someone grows apricot. I mean, you could start. We think about making perry one day.
Definitely. I was just thinking that. So, you know, as we mentioned earlier, probably our first one will be a commercial version of that homebrew test that I did. 100% local Granny Smith apples. That'll be pretty fun. I think I would love to do. Pears are much harder to work with than apples, which is strange that I didn't know coming into this, and that's one of the many things I've learned. But I'm committed to doing a perry.
Oh, real? Yes, let's go.
I love a perry, so I'm really excited to experiment with that. Yeah, we're going to try and use other local fruits to co-ferment with as much as possible, peaches, cherries, apricots, whatever we can get our hands on, really. We know a lot of great fruit producers locally. And then I'm going to bring all those beer brewing skills as well. You know, we're going to be dry hopping. We're going to be changing up the yeasts. We might do some souring. Hopefully we're going to even get into, I think I got enough room over there that we can put a barrel rack, just one barrel rack, you know, and one of my 100-gallon tanks will fill two standard casks, and I can stack it a few high, and so hopefully we'll get some product
out. A little sexy eye candy, too.
Exactly, yeah. And start filling those casks right away.
Oh, so, man, we'll I'm geeking. Liz, you're going to be selling all this, tell you what.
Yes, for sure.
Market all this. So what do you guys got to do to make this place more inviting? Because you guys, right now it's cold. Right, but you have a patio. Mm-hmm. So is the patio going to be open?
Oh, yeah. Right. We're excited about patio season. Gotcha. The sooner we get there, the better.
Gotcha.
Right. And, so, you know, some folks have had me set up the tables. Right now, the tables are out there, and people see them, but it's cold outside, so not everybody wants to be out there. Mm-hmm. But a few folks have been like, especially during this pandemic, like, hey, is it all right if we... And I've set up the patio for them, and they've enjoyed sitting
heaters.
Out on their... Yeah, we have a couple of patio heaters out there. You know, we're doing some other stuff. We need some decor on the walls in here. It's a little barren still.
Yeah,
we're still
I'll model if you want a picture of me somewhere. I'll put it up there.
Well, you know, we, like so many other people, we've been kind of challenged by supply chain issues, construction delays. Like, you know, we opened a full 3 months behind schedule.
Yeah.
But it's open. At least we're open.
Every time I come here, you got at least a handful just booming. Always loud, always happy. Like, I love it. And the tables you guys have here are fantastic.
Oh, yeah. The table we're sitting at, you know, big shout out to Josh who built these for us. We love these tables.
Super cool.
For sure. We just love our neighborhood, too. I mean, I think one of the things we were sold on when we found this spot in Central Ninth was just the neighborhood and the potential and just how many cool neighbors we have.
Oh, we have
Waterwitch, Laziz, Central Ninth Market, Gnome. The Alibi guys are opening a new Vietnamese restaurant in our backyard.
Ooh, right
literally
behind
in
that.
Our
Game
backyard.
Over.
So, yeah.
And we're right in the middle of, like, a really cool district. So all the neighbors that she just listed just now are within, like, 80 feet of us, you know. if you extend that out to a quarter mile to a half mile, we're right in the middle of a bunch of breweries.
Yeah,
Proper, Epic, TF, Fisher Brewing, Ketos isn't that far away. We're right in the middle of that.
And that's five coffee shops,
yeah,
too.
A bunch of coffee shops, a bunch of other small, great restaurants.
Man, you guys
we're,
have
we're
it.
In a really cool little district.
I like that.
And we feel very lucky to be here.
Yeah.
So you guys are, I mean, so far so good. You got some I'm assuming there's hiccups along the way, right?
It's a learning curve.
Has staffing been an issue for you guys? And everyone's been hurting with supply and demand, you know, all that. Has staffing been an issue for you guys? Are you guys mostly the ones in the trenches being in front of house?
I'll say that's one of the things I'm probably the most grateful for getting going, you know, supply chain stuff, construction delays. We kind of knew that was going to happen. It was frustrating when it happened, but you can plan around that a little bit. Staffing, I was planning on a big old zero, right? Like a whole lot of nobody showing up, but we were able to contact some people that we know, some friends of mine, and make some connections there, and we've been very lucky. Everybody that we have on staff, there's five other people working for us right now. I guess six yeah. other people yeah. working for us right now, mm-hmm. And they've all really stepped up.
Nice.
You know, one of them knows a little bit about cider, but no one else really came from any kind of cider tasting background. You know, we had one's a wine broker. One of them used to work or works down at Caputo's downtown.
That same is?
Yeah,
Seamus. Shout out Seamus.
Yeah. No, he's Seamus. Being modest, obviously. People jumped in line to work for Rio. Well,
it was, again, very gratifying to see that they were interested. You know, and most of them have full-time jobs, so they're doing this as
on the side to help you guys
an
out.
Additional side thing, and they seem to be having fun, and I hope that they are.
Nice, because you guys have funky hours right now, right? So what's your hours looking like at the moment?
Tuesday through Thursday, we are open at 4 p.m. And so we started with the goal of staying open till midnight, but we've been closing a little earlier if it's quieter because just people are staying home a little bit more. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we open at noon. So,
So it's I think it's a great way, you know, I come after work, hang out. You have options for dinner, obviously. You're staying in a half mile. You can go wherever you want. Yeah. And then we got great options on the weekend to come hang out and chill.
For sure.
Exactly.
For
so sure. That's, I like that. Wanted to capture some of that, you know, après ski business this winter, as well as, you know, the post brunch business, the Saturday afternoon, what are we going to do today crowd.
Sunday like fun day.
Yeah, Sunday, all that kind of stuff.
So you guys have, I see you have more that's coming out that we don't know about. Are we going to see events here, like a paint night here or stuff like that?
Possibly. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously the pandemic's made it hard, so we've wanted to kind of pull back just like in the interest of safety, like of not having too many packed events, but definitely down the road. And again, working with our neighbors, you know, just this neighborhood, the opportunity for outdoor events that we have and some of the ideas that we've been floating around as a neighborhood has been really exciting.
And they all support you guys, and you guys, I mean, is it a pretty knit group over here?
Yeah, definitely.
I like that.
We've made friends, you know, we knew some of the folks like the boys at Water Witch before we came into the neighborhood. And we've just made more friends after that. The guys down at Central Ninth are awesome. We love those guys. Getting to know the Alibi boys better and better too. That's just great. We're
really,
really stoked.
Cool. Yeah. I like this. Yeah, so are we going to see like a loyalty program here?
Potentially.
Hey, I mean, if I come here 10 times.
I've had that in mind for a long time.
I tell you what, I think I deserve like an apple or something.
Maybe.
Apple
maybe.
Pie.
I mean, Utah makes it really tough sometimes, you know. Right. So we'd love to do stuff like that. But we do have some fun. You know, we're looking at instituting before too long a few like standard nights of the week that are kind of more event nights.
Right.
So,
really cool.
Talking about a game night every week. Some folks have already, these big, awesome wooden tables that we talked about earlier, some folks have already brought their own games and kind of played some of
them.
They're like, we got to.
That's really cool.
Got to take it. Sure. We're getting more and more cider in some really big, like 750 milliliter bottles, some big format bottles. And some of them are quite expensive, you know. So, We you know, it's like going to a nice wine bar and you see like a $60 bottle on the menu. That's not going to be your bread and butter. You're not going to get that every day.
Yeah.
But we know people are excited to try them and we want to do that. So we're probably going to do one night a week coming up before long where we offer 2 to 3 of the larger format bottles by the glass.
Yeah.
Just for that night and
just
see
so
what people
get exposed
think.
To it and test it.
Absolutely.
And test it out for sure.
Hey, Steve, you bouncing?
Pardon me?
You bouncing?
Bouncing, yeah, I gotta go make dinner.
Hey,
no worries.
Cheers, brother. Thank you
Steve
for making
always,
this happening.
Oh, well,
I didn't make this
happen. You made the relationship happen.
This guy made it happen.
Yeah, but he was a catalyst. We'll
appreciate
you.
But, you know,
thank you for being you.
If you're gonna live in Utah, you gotta have something good to drink.
Amen. Here, here.
You smile without so much sugar coating.
I like that.
Perfect.
Cheers,
Steve.
Brother. Have a safe night.
Good to see you, Steve.
Good to see you.
We'll catch up soon. I got a big order coming in this week with some ciders you're gonna like, so come back. I will. Okay.
I love it. This is probably my first live in-house, like, because I do it in brew houses, where it's kind of behind the scenes.
Right.
So doing it, like, in the trenches,
in the
really
bar.
Cool. I like this a lot.
Good.
A fun vibe, for sure.
So, Rio, I want to touch this. You talked about kind of Utah liquor laws real quick. So, as a cider, don't you get taxed out the ass for having cider? Is that a... What's the parameters here when it comes to cider?
You mean the production side or the product that we
Let's
buy
do
from
both.
Us?
I don't know. Is it pain in the ass just to have cider and then another one to make cider?
It's both. So we'll start with the stuff we buy from other people, right? You know, whether you know it or not, all alcohol in Utah comes through the DABC to some extent. The only exception is beer that's on, you know, using quotes there, that's under 5%, right? This is what's termed low point beer by the state. It gets taxed in a totally different bracket, and the DABC doesn't have to deal with it. But everything else comes through the DABC, regardless of its strength. So because cider is technically wine, even if it's 3, 4%, it can't go to the grocery stores, it can't go to convenience stores, and it gets taxed like stuff that comes through the state. And the standard markup, lot of people don't know this. The standard markup for the state is 88% tax.
Holy shit.
So if the state buys it for a dollar, you go buy it from the state store for $1.88, right? So almost 100% markup on that. And that's really, the state of Utah is basically addicted to the liquor revenue. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's running a great program and bringing in a lot of stuff, and it funds a lot of our state programs, especially education. Our state education system is almost entirely funded by the DABC.
Wow.
So lots of fun there.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a positive, right? Yeah. Those liquor dollars at least go to something.
Yes.
So we can be happy with that.
Not just someone's pocket.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah, I got you.
So buying cider that way, you know, can be a little painful because it's not the cheapest product. It's a craft product. It's an artisan product. It's an agricultural product. It has to incorporate all of those costs into it before it even gets to the DABC, and then they mark it up quite a bit before I get a chance to buy it. You know, that being said, what's really cool, you know, one of the little perks that the state does offer is what's called the small producer credit. So if the manufacturer, like at a place here, for example, they're small enough, they don't, you know, they, everything that they make in a given year puts them under a threshold, and they can apply for and get a small producer tax credit, which lets them get taxed at 49%.
Okay.
Right.
It's like 49
point
something.
Much more affordable and reasonable, yeah.
And so that's way better than 88. It's still a lot, but it's way better than 88.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about here is we're focusing almost exclusively on producers that qualify for that tax credit.
I like that.
So there's nothing wrong with some of those big, larger, you know, companies producing cider. We're talking about the national brands, Angry Orchard, Ace, Woodchuck. There's some very great cider being made by those folks.
Yeah.
But just to keep the price point kind of really affordable for us, we're seeking out smaller producers and getting that tax credit on almost everything.
Gotcha. So. And how are you going about finding those smaller producers? And you can only, if you can't really just stay in Utah. You're going to have to go outside and get
right.
that.
It's, it's kind of weird for me. My whole local thing in beer is like local beer only.
Yeah, right.
Like you know, there's a craft and sugar house that I opened with my partners is Utah only beer bar.
Yeah.
And I can't do that with cider because we only got the three. We're going to be the four. So it was a little bit out of my comfort zone, frankly, you know, not working with people that I knew really well from the beer community. But one of the funnest things has been people are so excited to have a cider bar in Salt Lake that they've been coming in and, you know, like grabbing the bar and being like, are you going to carry this one? This is my favorite. Are you guys going to carry it? And if I know them, if I know the one already, then I'm like, oh, yeah, we might get that one. Or, yeah, we're already planning on getting that. And other times I'm like, wait, say that again. Spell that for me. So I have this long list going on my phone of all these suggestions that people have. And so we're going to try and chase down everything we can get.
Right.
You know?
That's really cool.
Right. And we knew we would get that. And I think the best way to think about it is more the trend. Like, yes, we always want to support local, but the better way to think about it is that we support small, right? These are small farms in a lot of cases, small orchards, small family businesses, or even just the urban upstart cideries across the country. These are all small businesses, you know, and just doing their entrepreneurial thing. So I think that's the way we look at it. And like, yes, some have definitely had massive commercial success and good for them. And at least they do have some limited run things that we'll be bringing in from time to time from the bigger guys. But, it's just about the exposure that we haven't traditionally seen here through the state liquor selection.
So you guys are kind of in a way, man, you guys are taking on a lot, I feel like. You're trying to make local. You're trying to source local. You're trying to bring in cool things that are small outside. Man, wow. You guys sleeping at all lately? You resting?
I'm getting some good sleep.
You guys
sleep pretty
some
good.
Spa treatments? Like, what's going on?
I'll
so face mask? Let's go.
I mean, skiing and face planting is my spa treatment right there.
I mean, I just want you to know, you guys are doing a great job so far, so good, okay? And I support 1,000% this, but don't kill yourselves. Just don't kill yourselves. Because you guys, we walk in here, the passion's there. The bartenders have always been excited. You know, everyone here is always happy. Just chill. I like the vibe here. You got to keep it going. Keep pushing it.
So,
if anything, you're just going to see more energy from me.
Good. I want
coming
that.
As I get to start making my own stuff, that's just going to keep me excited. And then coming into patio season, I can't say enough about that. We're so excited.
Oh, man.
Right.
Open them doors. Let's go.
Cider's just so nice in the summertime. It's so refreshing. Yeah. It's so good. We have so many awesome ciders for summertime. Oh, man, I'm so excited.
I love it.
Yeah. And Rhea's going to CiderCon for the second, like, in person for the second time in 2 weeks. In, like, two weeks.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So first he'll week come of back February. From that just, like,
where's it at this
out.
Year?
Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, hey, that's a great place for cider, right?
I've never been over there, so I'm really excited. It's a part of the country that I don't know very much about.
Liz, you going to?
I am not. I got to hold down the bar.
So we'll, like, trade off and stuff.
Next year. Yeah, it'll be gone.
I'm excited. I get to taste a ton of new ciders, so that's part of, you know, we'll make connections out there that
that's
hopefully
really
we'll
cool.
be able to get some of those ciders into the state that way.
Man.
Every time I travel now, and it has been for the last, not that I've done a whole lot of traveling over the last couple of years, but everywhere I've been traveling for that time and more, I look for cider now more than, you know, I always used to look for beer, still looking for beer, but I'm also looking for cider and spending a little energy seeking it out and going to places. You know, I was recently in Oregon and I bought quite a bunch of cider to bring home with me.
And you just want to share it. Yeah. Everyone goes, look, oh, try this.
I was like a kid in a candy store. I was just like, well, I'm going to try this and this and this. Probably spent like $300 at the place on just cider.
It's a baby size receipt. He has no idea what I've spent in the last 5 years out of state.
Sit tight. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. Hopkins Brewing is located off 21st South in Salt Lake. Hopkins has live music, local art, and they use locally grown and sustainable ingredients in both their food and craft beer. Their food menu is off the charts. Their handcrafted beer is also fantastic. Upon checking out, use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off any food. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off your entire meal. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. So, you're saying you're choosing beer and wine. I say we try this beer-wine hybrid. You call it a graph? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, a graph, like G-R-A-F and sometimes two Fs.
Like
depending.
A geograph.
Yeah.
A graph.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let me go grab that.
That'd be awesome. So, Liz, while Rio's grabbing that, I got questions for you. So, in the future, you're going to do some events here, right?
Yep.
Are we going to do parties as well?
Yeah, we will definitely always like be entertaining the idea of like private parties, closing for private events. But we definitely have some big plans.
Oh, man. Can we know any of these plans? Are they kind of secret?
Again, you know, there are certain times of year, you know, we want to celebrate. And just this, the timing for us to be open is interesting. Usually mid-January is what they call the wassail season. Hmm. So that's when, and at a place just did this, you can look it up on their Instagram for their orchard. It's where you bless the orchard and you do a traditional offering to the gods. For
Are we
like,
doing a blessing
a good,
here next January?
Yes.
Oh, let's go.
So that's like this one, you know, old ancient cider tradition from coming over from the UK.
I'm totally into that.
And then another one is what they call choach season. And that's from the Spanish Basque history from Spain. So choach season is usually also the end of January, and there's a lot of opening of barrels and tapping of barrels and doing all these fun things, so it's kind of interesting like to have that nice winter thing to look forward to. So like as we get out of the pandemic and get more centered, we can
if
do
you
all
build
of those
it
things.
They will come
exactly
Liz, come on.
And then like I said, summer is just going to be crazy fun with the patio space.
I'm excited for you guys. Is this dog-friendly place, by the way? Will it be dog-friendly?
We're hoping to be, but we do have to apply. That's kind of up to the city. It's not the state. It's the city. Mm-hmm. To bring a dog into any kind of place of business like this, you have to go and get a permit for it.
Okay.
So almost certainly dogs will not be allowed inside because that's not a permit they offer for us.
Right.
But we can get one for the patio.
Right. And there's probably going to happen in the future.
Right, we got to get to the summer, and then we got to
see what happens and where the world's at.
Sure.
But I'll
be putting that application in.
Yeah,
pretty
fantastic.
Early, sure.
And like I said, we'll do like joint street festivals and parties with our neighbors. And
so, where's cool places to park here in Siam?
Parking is certainly one of our biggest challenges on this street.
So, is there a place that we can recommend that you won't get?
I mean, definitely in front of us. There's a whole bunch of construction happening on 9th South. You know, which will add more parking. That is the long term goal of that construction. So
that's right. So
we're hoping that gets done in the spring.
Yes.
And then the other thing we recommend is that we're only like 200 yards away from the 9th South track stop. So
no
people
way.
Can just tracks here. You know?
That one's pretty flat. You know, Salt Lake, once you get down from like the avenues or the, you know, east benches, is pretty flat. I'm basically, as soon as the weather's a little bit nicer and I stop having to use my truck for deliveries and stuff like that, I'll be biking to work every day.
We have bike parking, scooters can certainly, the scooter scene around here will be good for that.
And there's a bunch of neighborhood parking around. There's quite a bit of street parking within a couple of block radius, for sure.
Ah, you guys, I like this.
And
this is
not,
cool.
Yeah, and I mean, again, taking public transportation or Lyft or Uber or whatever is probably smart, because I think the one thing we didn't really talk about was just that, you know, with all of our ciders on tap, they range in a higher ABV because we're allowed to do that.
That's right.
We didn't really talk about that.
We got into taxes and didn't go all the way into regulations. But because cider is wine, we can have it on tap, and it doesn't have to adhere to the 5% rule. So we can get up to, I mean, our highest right now is 9.5% on tap.
A certain ounce pour, correct, with that?
That's right. So but for example, what you have in front of you, you know, the glasses we're drinking out of, our standard 5-ounce pour is most of the way of the glass. And then what we have right now is a carafe in front of us, and we sell 15 and 25-ounce carafes.
Hey.
So you can get, you know, quite a bit still.
Yeah.
If you're interested in
that's
it, you
plenty.
Just have
I mean,
to,
well, for
you
sure.
just kind of have to, it's wine. So we have to pour it into the carafe and then give you a glass. You can't drink it out of the carafe again.
Can we walk around with it? What's the law on that?
Because we're a bar. You can. Yeah.
Hey,
you don't have to be seated.
I like that.
And you don't have to order food to be here. We have a small food program. We're never going to do like a ton of food.
Gotcha.
We're not really a restaurant. We're a bar with some bar snacks.
But I mean, like bar snacks for sure. But we have the whole community around here. I feel like taco trucks will be a cool thing eventually.
Yep. Yeah, that's something we've wanted to talk about with, again, our neighbors.
Mm-hmm. That's
that
really
stuff.
Cool. Yep.
But some of them do great food too. So.
Man.
Well,
hey.
And customers are already bringing in takeout from the local.
And that's okay to bring
restaurants.
Your own food.
Absolutely.
100%.
Hey.
So, like, I mean, our closest neighbor out of those that we listed is Lizzie's. And those folks have been awesome to us. Yeah. They've been great to our staff when we're like on shift and need a quick meal. And also they've been like running our food. You know, people order food and then come sit down and they've run the food over to us.
If they're a little shout
out, let's go.
And so they're really fantastic. We love the folks at Lizzie's. Shout out to Derek and Moody. Those guys are great.
Fantastic. So what did you pour us for the Rio?
Right. So this new one that we have in front of us is a really interesting thing. This is from a Swedish cidery called Fruktstereo.
Just about died. One whiff and she's dead.
Oh, yeah. This is not up her. She's not a big fan of the funky stuff, and this is decidedly funky.
Yep. It's okay. And Rio gave me an extra healthy pour.
They have some fun with the titles. These guys, these Swedes have a good sense of humor. This one is called First We Take a Manhattan and Then We Take a Berliner Weiss.
That's the name of the beverage.
Yes.
It's a little long. It's not really Twitter friendly.
I love it. Oh, it totally is. It's just a whole post.
But so what this is, these guys would say they're not quite a cidery that they make, because apparently the regulations in Sweden say that if it's not 100% apples, you can't call it cider. And so much of their stuff is involving a couple other fruits or something. They wanted to come up with a name for what they make, and so they kind of glommed onto the term petnat, right? That's very popular in wine right now. And what petnat means, I get a lot of questions about this. It's short. It's just an abbreviation for the French words pétillon naturel. So what that means is like naturally bubbly, naturally sparkling, right? So pétillon is like not all the way to like champagne carbonation, but just still a little bit bubbly. And so for a petnat wine, that means that they sealed it up during fermentation, towards the end of fermentation, and bottle conditioned it that way.
Oh, no way.
So that's a petnat wine. It's done that way. These guys decided that what they're making in Sweden is fruit petnats. So, and we have some of their bottles. Again, some of those big 750 format big bottles. One of them, for example, is made with apple, pear, carrot, honey and sea buckthorn berries.
What the hell is that?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's like unfiltered. It's got this crazy cool color to it. This pinkish mauve color.
And there's another one. And this is all Swedish grown fruit. Most of it's hand picked. Some of it out of abandoned orchards. Really cool company doing some really cool stuff.
Where did you come across this?
Great guy. Flora Fauna Wines is a local distributor, and this was in their catalog randomly.
No way.
So big shout out to Brett at Flora and Fauna. For showing us this and making sure that we got it in a timely fashion. But the one that we're drinking is even weirder. This is even weirder.
Oh, my God.
So they partnered with a brewery in Sweden and decided to make kind of a Berliner Weiss, right? Okay. So low-gravity, sour beer. So this is 50% sour wort. 30% pear juice, 10% apple juice, and 10% piquette made from apples and pears, which is like the pumice.
Both?
Yeah, out of apples and pears. Piquette is like when they make, it's like wine light is the way to think of it. So a classic piquette is made from wine. When you ferment wine, there's always, you know, you run off the juice and there's the pumice left over, right?
Gotcha.
And they'll add water to that to get all the remaining sugars and some of the flavor, and they'll ferment that separately. So it's kind of halfway between a seltzer
it's like
and a wine.
Party guy, all kind of style, kind of weird.
Exactly.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So the last 10% is piquette made from the apple and pear mash.
God, this is blowing my mind. Yeah. This is all in this beverage right here.
Yeah, it's all in this thing. It's only 3.5% alcohol. We still have to sell it like wine.
Yeah.
But it's on draft, and just the aroma is crazy. It's got this
I'm getting
wonderful.
So much. Liz, yeah. I don't know what you get in the aroma.
As Rio said, it is not my alley of ciders, so to speak. I tend to stay away from like
but
the
if you
funky
had to describe
and the sour.
It,
oh, it's definitely.
Use a terrible term if you want
no,
to.
No. I'm not going to say because again, I appreciate like the work that goes into everything. So even if it's not my personal,
you can sit here and say Fruity Pebbles and be like, okay, you're wrong, but yeah, I you get it, cool,
right?
You know what I mean? There's no really wrong answer.
That's what I always thought. Like, you know, and some definitely some like
it's very vinegary to me.
Yeah, it's like, got a little bit of
like salt vinegar chips.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, a little bit of
but
like
a little sweeter than that.
It's got
right?
some sweetness, you get the sweetness in there, though. I don't know what that is. I mean,
a little bit of funk, well, more than a little bit of funk.
I like the nose.
Some kind of like cheesy kind of foot and barnyard and stuff like that. Some stuff that you get out
it
of
like
really
wants
nice.
Wants to be
like,
barnyard, but it's not. I mean,
I wouldn't call it that. See, I don't get that with this type of cider, and it's not Band-Aid-y, right? Because that's usually the phenolic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God.
That's usually the phenols coming through. And so to me, I used to be really sensitive to the Band-Aid smell, and I've trained myself out of that, but I don't pick up on that as much with this one.
There's this something in there that's like, I want to say it's like a beet, like it's it's earthy vegetable. I don't know what it is, but
it's got that like
there's so much going on,
you know, like grain when it starts to go sour when you've already mashed it and you take it outside and it's like fermenting with lacto in the grain barrels before the farmer picks it up.
I haven't tried that's in what my it mouth like. But I smell it
and you know sometimes that smells awful, but it's very a very intense smell, so this is like that
I can see that,
a little bit and delicious, you know.
Man, I like what was that sexy French word you said? Pétillon.
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
You did. Pétillon. We're working on your French.
Man,
step
I tell
step.
You what, that, I'm pretty attracted to Pétillon.
Pétillon.
I like that.
Pétillon naturel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably butchering the accent.
No, you did pretty good.
Liz, I love this.
Yeah. That is up your alley because, like, you like those kind of, like, again, you get more beer out of it. That so whole lane of beer in the sour side.
I mean, it would scare me to make this in the brewery. But, right, Rio? I don't think I'd bring this ever, but I can really appreciate this.
Right, it smells like more than like kettle soured, right? It sounds like they kettle soured it and then didn't kill it with a boil.
Yeah.
Like they just
let it go. I don't get a whole lot of lactic. Like, I don't want to throw up. You know what I mean? Like that. I think for me, kettle sours, I just threw up. That burning feeling. I don't get that because it goes down easy.
It does.
It lights your tongue up, your entire palate. Boom.
It smells funkier than it is.
Yes.
It's like. It's actually super crushable. I'm hoping that we still... Well, we have 2 kegs of it, so if we run out of this first keg, I'm going to save...
Yeah, it's on draft.
Well, little sixel kegs.
Still.
So if we run through this first one, I'm going to save the next one for the summertime because this will just crush it in the summer.
Man.
Again, for that patio season.
Give me April, May. It's like springtime, like there. Let's go.
Yeah, it's definitely a hit.
First
it's going to be a hit with a lot of people who enjoy that stuff.
And this is only like one of few funky and weird things you guys have to offer. There's so much going on.
Right. But, and have you tried pairing this, Rio, with some of the conservas that we have, like the saltiness? Yeah. How does that go?
So one of our, you know, our food program is kind of Spanish-inspired because the Spanish, Portuguese, French have some of the best cider culture in the world, and especially like northern Spain, the Basque country that overlaps northern Spain and the French, they have really great food that goes fantastically with cider, and that was kind of a revelation. Part of that culture in that area is what are called conservas, right? Like really nice tinned seafood, not your, you know, chicken of the sea, not kipper snacks, not just classic. Not that there's anything wrong with those. Those are
not
great.
Sardines? Like, none of that?
So, no, they are sardines, but these are sardines that are, for example, are like, hand harvested, hand picked at the like peak of their fattiness during the winter. Once a year, they harvest them. Each one of them is hand gutted, handled, yeah. Put into a can with like really nice olive oil or some other really nice spices,
right. Flavorings.
I kind of found these by working some of the work I do with Caputos. And I just kind of fell in love with cider and them as a pairing. I teach some cider classes for Caputos, and we would pair them with that for the class, and they were just knocking it out of the park. The yeah. oily, briny, salty,
really?
And then you have this nice, refreshing, clean, slightly acidic cider coming in and cleansing the palate. Because it just kills it.
Like the next level up from charcuterie and cheese.
Yeah, because I think wine and cheese to me is like the best. But this is something, wow.
So we're doing cheese too before too long. Actually, our cheese refrigerator just got in this week.
Hey,
so we're waiting for that.
So we have cheese and cider pairing here.
Yeah.
Maybe
soon our own classes when we feel comfortable doing this.
Yes. If you guys need tasters, right here.
Well,
my
we know
God.
You're not the number one taste master. So.
Love it.
So cheese for sure, charcuterie, Marcona almonds, olives. Marinated vegetables, other little kind of Spanish influence stuff.
Right.
But the conservas are the ones we've been able to do so far without our refrigeration because we don't need to, they're tinned. We don't need to refrigerate them. And people have been loving them.
Really?
It's been really, some people are, I was hesitant too. I grew up not eating seafood. I'm from Utah. That was not my thing growing up. And conservas were a great way to kind of expand my horizons, and I was a little skeptical at first. And now we give a plate of our conservas to people with the cider, and they rave about it.
So would this be one of them you could pair with it, or is this too vinegary, too complimentary?
No, this would be great.
This is kind of perfect.
Really? I think
it
would go really well. For example, we have mussels in escabeche, which is like a vinegar-based sauce from a company called Espinalaire. This would be fantastic with that. Or if you wanted to cut something a little richer, like the roasted garlic anchovies from Patagonia Provisions would be fantastic.
So is this available anytime I come into the door?
Anytime you come in.
We have five different conservas. They're going to rotate some
tasty potato
see what people
chips,
like.
Gourmet potato chips, too.
And each conservas plate comes very Spanish again. It's a tin of whatever seafood, a bag of Torres potato chips, and hot sauce.
And David's getting hungry.
Did not tell me this. I had no idea about this. Oh my God. Sold.
Such a good lunch. I would never have thought it again.
Great lunch or snack. Let's go. I'm on my way. See ya.
Yeah.
It's like a great date. Oh my God.
Hands off again to Caputos for bringing in such high quality stuff.
God. I'm speechless. You guys made me speechless. I don't want to ask any questions.
Wait until we get the cheese in, man.
Oh my goodness. You guys, because you have
cheese pairings,
endless
whatever.
Possibilities with this.
Definitely. And again, Rio said it earlier. It's like, the goal is to have constantly rotating things to try on tap. So there's always going to be something new or some new combo
you can try.
Yeah.
It was interesting. So right when we were getting the menu, I was just, getting every cider I could, and ordering everything. And now that we've kind of gotten open and running and all the taps are full, we have half barrels, full size kegs of some of the product on, and little 5-gallon kegs of most of it. And because I want things to rotate, I don't think I'm going to buy a whole lot of more half barrels so that we can just keep sixels around and just rotate a little bit faster. And I think that's going to be really exciting.
Cider doesn't go bad as fast.
No, it does
you can
not.
Pull
there's
it off
there's
for
nothing
a while.
Wrong with having it around for. But I like the idea of changing the menu. Some of the ones that we just sell a crap load of. Forgive the term, but we'll maybe keep in half barrels, especially if it leaves and then people start to demand it back.
Yeah.
So we're waiting to kind of get some data from our customers.
Just got to give it time. And then, of course, if the world stops closing and all that, right?
Right.
So with that being said, what's going to make Scion succeed?
Community support, number one. I think we've definitely had that early on from the industry and neighbors for sure.
Yeah.
We've been relatively quiet about our opening so far.
Right.
Is that on purpose?
Yeah, definitely. We've been working, like I was saying, decor, getting the menu fully to where we want it to be. We have 85 ciders right now. I'm not going to be happy until we have over 200.
Right.
We're getting another 50 or 60 in the next week.
Yeah. We've been taxing the special order system hard and working
We're probably not their favorite people right now, but They're our favorite people because when they tell me I have new ciders to go pick up.
I like that.
Because, yeah, like you said, it's like that's pretty much how we're relying on everything. Like Slackwater, for example, is like we have to special order everything since the state doesn't carry and because we need the kegs. So that comes through the special order system and through the distributors who are representing cider.
Yeah.
Right. And there's not a whole lot of them in the state either.
Yeah. Cause cider is not a sexy commodity. It's not like, let's go.
Not yet. It's not.
Right.
It is now. But so, you know, we're waiting. We have a few things to get right over the next couple of weeks before we are really ready to put our best foot forward and really show everybody everything that we want to
do. Because you had like a soft-ish opening, right? Are we going to have a grand opening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we actually planned for both, you know, additional soft openings and grand openings this month, and Omicron has reared its ugly head, and we canceled those for, you know, safety's sake. We thought it was the better part of valor at this point to not invite large numbers of people to congregate together. So we're kind of like a lot of folks out there in the industry, you know, collectively, we're all kind of holding our breath and hoping for the best.
Right. Yeah.
We think we're coming into patio season, which was going to, you know, be a boon for us, for everybody again. You know, in the winter, people don't want to be indoors as much, so they'll stay
home. I want to Netflix and chill.
But if in the summertime, if you don't want to be around a ton of people, you can sit outside and that's a little bit safer, right? So, we're really looking to hit patio season, running, you know, hit that ground running, have our full menu, have close to 200 ciders, have all the decor done in here, be releasing my own product from the tanks.
That'd be our first big event, like a tank release day.
Exactly. So
really cool.
Probably do a lot of that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah.
So I agree completely with Liz. Like, you know, we believe the customer and the community support is out there. We believe that Utah is underserved, that there are people crying out here for cider, and that the state and other folks just aren't giving them what they need. It's always an afterthought compared to the rest of the alcohol categories.
For sure.
And we're looking to change that.
I like that. And then is there going to be some future collabs? Are we going to see, you know, Scion meets...
Very possible.
When it comes to, you know, barrels, when it comes to actual other cider makers, when it comes to beer, what is it, Graf?
I'm pretty sure Rio knows everyone in town. And
you do know probably everyone.
I know a lot of good folks.
We could say, like, a beer/cider collab.
Definitely,
both locations.
You know, making our own graph, working with other cideries. You know, we're good friends with folks at Mountain West, at a place that we've talked about, up at the Hive Winery. We have connections there, so we'd love to collaborate with those guys. Collaborate with some cider makers out of state that we meet at places like CiderCon and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they might have a line on some heirloom fruit that they. Maybe it's not enough for them to do something with, but my small batch
totally
size.
And that type of collab happens like in the cider world a lot. Like we have one can in the cooler now that's called Transcontinental. And so it's one cider maker, one cidery from each side of the United States.
That's the Washington, D.C. one, right?
Yeah, it's Ancho. Ancho is the cidery that carries it, but they got juice from the Pacific Northwest and did a collab that way.
Yeah, a cidery called Snowdrift up there collaborated. And that one's fantastic. Yeah. I really like
that.
And
they have pretty cans.
They do have pretty cans.
Really I was thinking we'd taste that one.
Oh, yeah.
So
he's got a whole row.
Always can.
Whole row of stuff.
I see in this place, because you're still, you have a lot to chew.
We got a long time to do it. We're trying not to. Because
I'm sitting here going like, real barrel work. Let's dry hop. I got some house fruit. Let's go. Let's wet hop.
We can do side by side tasting classes. We have beer versus cider versus wine.
This is going to be the spot. It really is.
Well, we got a rosé wine by the bottle right now, and we have rosé ciders. So it's a lot of fun. Again, the burden of education is on us, but we're confident that we can do that. That we can show Utah what cider is all about. How cool cider is, the vast diversity that it is there. Because the number one question, you know, the thing we hear all the time, I don't like cider. It's too sweet for me. It's like,
get out of here.
Buddy, you've get never tasted a
have
good
have you tried this? This right here?
Exactly.
In my hair?
More sour than sweet. Yes, for sure. For sure.
So what's it like when you have that roadblock when people come in and like, hey, cider bar, is there like a... Hit these 3 points real quick. Boom, boom, boom. Like, do you guys have a general
dummy
sheet, if you will?
It's funny that you asked.
That you say that. I'm in the process right now of sketching up, like, one of those little, like, decision tree sheets. So, you know, like...
You're like cider, yes, no, and they follow
exactly. Yes, no is kind of stuff. So it'll ask you, you know, do you drink white wine? Do you drink red wine? Do you drink whiskey? Do you drink beer? What kind of beer? What kind of wine? What kind of spirits?
See, you guys could make those...
You.
Individuals like cider.
Exactly.
Right. I just drink beer. It's all about how you expose beer. People, too.
Yeah. To things, I just only red wine for me. bullshit. But exactly. Here's the one I want you guys to figure this out. I just drink seltzers.
Oh man, we can beat that. So I mean, one of the primary things drawing
just White Claw for me.
One of the primary things drawing people to that kind of product is the perception of like low carbohydrate, right? They're supposed to be a little bit healthier. They might be lower alcohol, low carbohydrate, low calorie, all that stuff. Dry cider knocks that stuff out of the park. A sweet cider has a lot of residual sugar.
Yeah.
And so is at least as carbohydrate heavy as beer. But a dry cider has almost no carbohydrate.
Yeah, zero sugars, for
and
sure.
We're talking zero sugar, very little carb. We have, for example, one can of cider right now from a company in Colorado, Colorado Cider Company. It's their Mile High. It's a good little product. Almost 5.3% alcohol in a 12-ounce can. It has less...
I think it's 100 calories, yeah, so 100, it competes with seltzer directly.
Yeah, so, it's got less carbs and less calories than Michelob Ultra.
Wow.
So you're talking about low-cal stuff. Yeah.
But still flavorful and boom, right in your face.
Right,
I like that.
Right.
But still, a natural craft. And I mean, that's the other thing that we have going for us is I don't care what most people say, there's no such thing as craft seltzer. There might be a few out there that I'm willing to give that title through. The folks, the boys down at Grid City are doing a pretty good
job. That's line. A hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
I love it. Yeah. That's a hybrid.
But a straight seltzer, just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a craft seltzer. I'll say it. And
damn, Rio.
You notice there's not one. They're not one on the menu either.
No.
So.
No. And you know, we...
Don't cave.
All the cider that we're going to carry is from craft producers. Again, small businesses, small producers using traditional techniques or very innovative ones, getting real fruit from real orchards, doing real stuff. None of this bullshit, like flavoring and sugar stuff.
Yeah.
So we can offer fans of seltzer a better product, a more real,
more organic,
more natural, yeah. More organic,
a
product that's more connected to agriculture than seltzer at a comparative price point, and we can knock it out of the park.
I'm sitting here like, okay, I only drink Bud Light. I only drink Diet Coke. Like, literally can.
Yeah,
right.
We got stuff for that.
Because cider has this weird, it's overshadowed by everyone, but it has this niche where it's like, actually, it's for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand why the apple has been pushed away.
Right?
Isn't an apple a day keep a doctor away? Like, let's go.
It was the original American beverage too. Like, I'm a big history nerd, right? Like, I love the history of beer, and so I had to also learn about the history of cider to work here and do this kind of thing. Cider was the American beverage for the first 200 years of European colonization of what we now consider America. The pilgrims stopped because they didn't have enough beer, right? And some other stuff. They always drank beer. They always drank rum, stuff like that. But cider was the beverage because apples grow fantastic in the United States all over, They're not native here, but they were brought very, very early. One of the first kind of big agricultural things here. The stories of Johnny Appleseed. He was a real guy. He really did that.
Oh.
He really went around the country planting apple orchards. And at one point there were, hundreds of native, cultivars, varieties of apple grown in America, almost entirely for cider. And then it really kind of shifted in the second half of the 19th century with the German diaspora coming over from Europe. The Germans wanted beer and they kind of took over. Yeah, there's, nothing wrong with that. Germans to this date are the largest ethnic group among Caucasians in America. Over one-fourth of all Americans can claim German ancestry. So nothing wrong with that. I love beer. I'm glad that we had such a great beer culture. But cider was America's original beverage.
Wow.
And it's enjoying a little bit of a resurgence. Will it ever get back to that fabled position? Maybe not, but we can hope, right?
Yeah.
Doing our part, at least.
Yeah,
doing our part.
Yeah, for Utah, right?
For Utah and the industry in general. I mean, we went through it last week, too. Like, there's very few dedicated cider bars in the country. Like, we're one of maybe 10 across the whole
country. That's still mind-boggling to me that it's that low.
Yeah, that's
that there are hundreds of beer bars,
growing.
But only a few cider bars.
Yeah. Wow.
For sure.
I say we try one more before we end this.
Okay.
Which one are we trying? You guys got to showcase one that is available here and people can try that you guys want to
We should probably go with one of the weird, over that transcontinental, we should do one of the Finn River bottles.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's Finn River?
Oh.
Finn River is a fantastic producer.
I haven't had them yet.
They're out of Port Townsend, Washington, out on the Olympic Peninsula. really interesting climate. They grow a ton of their own stuff and work with other local farmers to grow stuff. And they do a lot of really great, like, botanical ciders, so other herbs and stuff. So, for example, just looking over there.
He's eyeing something. I can see.
Well, the black currant is kind of their flagship because they grow a lot of black currants.
Right. And
that's good. But I'd say we either try the black currant lavender, which I still haven't had.
I haven't tried that either, so I'd be game for that.
The purple stave is their straight lavender, oak-aged. They have the root cause, which
David's
is one that's
face
kind of
is exploding right now. He wants all of them.
The root cause is inspired by root beer, but it's not really root beer flavored. It just kind of has some roots.
Oh my god!
In it.
So you have a root beer alternative for somebody?
Exactly. Right. Hard root beer, not your father's hard root beer.
Yeah. I cannot believe this right now.
Yeah, yeah. There's something for everyone.
Is that any of those sounding better than anybody else?
Lavender oak with my vote, but you guys said the lavender and
Let's do a purple stave. I'll be right back.
Stave. Yeah. So Liz, while this is happening, So. What's while Rio walks away, what's one of the best things about working with Rio?
His just attitude is just so phenomenal. He's just so genuinely excited about this new world and introducing everybody to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, again, I haven't known him for very long, but I think that's just his natural personality.
So you have someone like a partner, a great ass partner.
Yeah.
You also are a cool partner. What are you going to do to pronounce yourself more into our community? You're going to be the face of this. Like, you're going to be out there more.
Oh,
I know.
No,
telling you. So how are you going to handle that? Because you got to be able to, hey, listen, just own it, girl. Just say, hey, I am badass. Because you are badass. You're really cool. Everyone loves you. You are knowledgeable, and you have a fantastic palate. So what are you going to do to push yourself to, like,
it's supporting Rio. It's supporting our staff. Because I do also have a full-time job. I probably at some point will back away from the day-to-day bar operations. That is the long-term goal for me. But I'll, like I said, always be involved in marketing and events. Like, that's my day job. Like, this full-scale, large-scale events. So that, for me, is the thing I bring to the community and can do that and work with everybody across the community. The other thing I'm pretty active and vocal about is working with the DABC and legislators and trying to push through legislation that helps us all.
Yeah.
So
how does one, like a no man, go up to somebody and help change legislation? Like, how does that work? Like, if I want to be like, hey, I want to bitch about ABV from, you know, ciders on tap, like, what do I have to do?
Or even the biggest issue that's been facing the small businesses in the community have been just lack of liquor licenses. That's the big one. And the DABC Commission has been begging people to write to their legislators. And, you know, it's the follow through from community. Like, just bitching on social media does not do the trick. You have to actively call your legislator, write them, you know, get involved, go attend public meetings, town halls. Like, none of that sounds fun.
So you're saying that my voice could be heard if I did that?
Exactly. Hmm. Ideally, right? That's the ideal scenario. Right. I mean, we're facing a lot right now politically, so.
Well, even the industry, you know, one of my things I did in my brewing capacity was work very closely for a while with the Utah Brewers Guild. I was the president of the Utah Brewers Guild for a couple of years there. And that was really eye-opening to me because I got to be involved very closely in some lobbying efforts. But it's, you know, it's an uphill battle in Utah for sure.
Yeah.
You know, there are folks, I don't mind saying, it's not, I don't think they would argue with me. There are folks in the legislature who are prohibitionists who would rather see alcohol, you know, gone from Utah forever.
But like you said, it's helping fund important things here in the state. So
if they could get rid of it without keeping the money, they would.
Good luck.
There's other things that you can do. I've been pushing on for sure.
It's an uphill battle, but we're excited to continue to work with, again, our friends, you know, Jen and Jeff over at Mountain West have done a little bit of lobbying, and we're excited to kind of add additional clout to that and kind of start to form a bigger community of folks with a shared goal. You know, work with the Utah Brewers Guild, work with the Utah Distillers Guild, work with the Salt Lake Area Restaurant Association, some of these folks that represent
Silicon Slopes is another one that I'm fairly active in.
So these businesses that are preaching this very common sense stuff, you know, like, bars want to open. Why can't we open and do business? We pay our taxes. We're responsible business owners. Business owners, you know, we're not over-serving people. We're not contributing to, you know, negative effects in our communities. We're often a positive effect on our community, and we're tired of being persecuted. So we want to raise a voice together and show them that we are valuable and that Utah wants us here.
So there's one way of doing it where you guys are, you know, being advocates for cider and you're pushing it here. Is there any way you guys can see where someone else... Because, you know, the way I can think about it is there's Republicans and Democrats. I feel like, is there a way we can have, like, a middle ground kind of thing? You know, like, so right. you have the Brewers. I think there's... the brewing community is very huge. Right. And it's a lot of brewers. It's pretty close. I like the brewing community.
Yeah.
Distillers, a lot smaller. I think they're close if they wanted to, right? And then you have cider makers. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, right?
Yeah.
Is there a way we can, like, all have the same, like, fermentation group, and we all just hang out, we all have a bottle share together, we all have this common goal? Is that even possible? Is that doable? Does there need to be, like, some martyr or some, like, some person that comes and say, hey, this is it?
I think so. You know, again, I don't want to sound pessimistic, because I'm not, but working with the Utah Brewers Guild was tough sometimes, you know, but... And it mostly just comes down to logistics, you know, doing every single one of our members at the Utah Brewers Guild is running a brewery. They're busy. They have their own concerns. You know, we're running a bar. We have our own concerns. We are going to be very busy a lot of the time. So it's hard to take time out. It's hard to spend additional money. It's hard to see, especially when it, again, in a relatively frustrating environment like Utah, where you can push on push and push and still not see a whole lot of change.
Yeah,
right.
But I think, you know, we've gotten that kind of coalition together before. We definitely worked while I was with the Brewers Guild, with the Distillers Guild, and with other folks on some kind of just alcohol reform legislation. That kind of stuff has come along. It's definitely possible. So we just have to do it and remember that it's the kind of process where you get what you put in,
yeah.
right? You get out what you put in. So if you're not willing to put anything in, you're not going to get anything.
You're making my brain juices go. Cause I think this is possible. I really do. Because to me, a simple fix, like something to start off, I think every brewery should have at least one guest tap, whether that's a cider, a wine, a local kombucha, like, doesn't matter.
Well, that comes down to their licensing requirements, right?
Sure, but that also means Utah needs to relax when it comes to that. Come on.
For sure.
Like, we're all, if I'm going out and getting big, you know, big homie, corporate, whatever, that's different. But, hey, I'm keeping it local. Like, we're keeping it here. It's our community. I don't know, there's some way, I'll figure it out, Rhea. I'll let you know.
Yeah. No, I'm a big advocate about that. We were one of the first, my old job was like one of the very first breweries in the state to do a guest tap.
Just makes sense to me, dude.
We've committed to that from the get-go. We're of the opinion. I was always of the opinion at Proper, and I think Elizabeth shares this with me. And we're here that the rising tide raises all boats.
Sure.
That we're in this together as an industry. We're again as an industry here because the Utahns want us here.
Right.
They support us. They want to see this kind of change. They're common sense, easy measures that don't that aren't gonna create the downfall of civilization you know, rampant drunkenness in the streets. That's not gonna happen.
Right. Yeah.
And just the faith that, I mean, the community is changing too. The demographics are changing. And that is like one thing we're really excited for too, because, you know, we have just the influx of new residents coming from all areas of the country and UK.
That diversity helps for sure.
Yeah. We have UK residents who are already regulars in the bar already because we have UK ciders. We have something from every state. So just people who are moving from every state, right?
Yeah.
And they get a taste of home. They want to continue to like support us, which is nice.
That.
And I just think there's opportunity for the views here to expand.
Let's hope so. And I see a better future. I just hope it stays off of this negative social media bullshit. Like, if you don't see it my way, then you're wrong.
Right.
No.
You got to find some middle ground somewhere, even among the
industry. Can disagree, agree to disagree. That is a possibility. Right. Why has that been thrown out the door? Like, come on.
Right. A few years ago during the move from 4% to what ended up being 5% and the debate over that, you know, I won't say social media poisoned the well because I don't think that's accurate. It's more complex than that. But there was a lot of vitriol on social media about
it.
And I think that that really clouded the issue and took away from what could have been this big community building thing. And so I really hope that kind of thing, we can avoid that.
If you see something, that's one thing. But go look at different sources and just figure out your own compilation of material and figure, like, just because one person said it and that's a giant person, like, doesn't mean they're right or wrong.
Right.
But with that being said, we have this from, you said, what river?
Finn River in Port Townsend, Washington.
And this is someone we got from Washington. You said there's oak characteristics in this one?
Definitely. So this is a lavender-infused cider. Lavender is an interesting thing to brew with or make cider with. It's kind of an intense flavor. And it's often, some people, it's like cilantro. It's very controversial. Some people love it and some people hate it. Right?
I don't know. I'm loving the nose right now. Yeah. So
I figure that with peat. When I smell peat, it tastes peat. It's like rubber boot to me.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, oh, smoky bog of heaven campfireness. Exactly. And I'm like, I can't, dude.
No, my dad has, and some of it's, they've figured out, like, for example, the cilantro thing is actually genetic. Yeah. There's, if you have a certain gene active, you hate cilantro because it tastes like soap. And my dad has it. I'm so glad I didn't get it because love cilantro.
Yeah.
So lavender can be similar to that where for some people it's just an overwhelming flavor. I like it. This is an oak-aged, that's why they call it the purple stave. It's an oak-aged version of a straight local lavender. Again, it's all grown within that Olympic Peninsula region. If they don't grow it themselves at Finn River, they work with local farmers who do. And
it's like a vanilla sweetness that comes off.
Yeah.
That is surprisingly, ooh, I like that at the very end.
Yeah. It's kind of playing with that, the oak has a lot of vanilla in it. Comes off of there, and I think that plays well with the lavender. You get some kind of creamy.
Yeah, it makes it almost creamy-esque.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Man, you guys are blowing up my palate today.
Well,
wow.
I mean, this is just, we've had three things today, and that's barely scratching the surface of what
we've had. Could you imagine we tried like all of them? It's a little taste.
We'd be here for 19 more hours.
19 hours, schmammied, and no Uber could pick my ass up. Wow.
No,
but what is something that collectively as a community that needs to happen in order to get Scion on the map, like help you guys out? What needs to happen?
I guess we should do some advertising.
Yeah, I guess we should,
do that.
That's probably, the other thing. Let's see, I'm trying to think. You know, we're really excited to participate in some upcoming festivals. You know, hopefully the summer festival scene is robust this year. You know, over the last couple of years of pandemic, events like Pride and Arts Festival and other things like that have had to be canceled or rescheduled and stuff like that, including the local beer festivals like, Salt Lake City Weekly Beer Festival, the Utah Beer Festival, the Idaho Falls Beer Festival, which is always kind of a Utah festival anyway because it's a lot of Utahns that go up there, but Slug Mags Brew Stillery, things like that. So we're really excited to participate in those when we have our own cider because we can't sell other people's cider there, but when my product started to come out of the tanks, we'll go and show off there. So that'll be really
pumped.
Excited.
Really exciting.
Yeah, I guess just people need to give cider a chance. Right. I mean, I think that's
just
the
come
thing.
With an open mind and trust us. Put some trust in the staff.
I like that.
Because the staff is definitely learning and will help you.
So
find
are you
something.
Guys.
And, it's
and
okay.
So as a community, we're learning.
Yeah.
It's okay. I feel like I can give you guys, I drink only this and you guys would figure it out somehow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, I like that challenge. What for as me taste masters, what can I do for you guys to help promote Scion Ciders?
I think you're doing it right.
You have been the number one fan since before you even knew this was a thing. Yeah. So.
Since I knew the secrets of the secrets.
Just asking good questions. I mean, you guys know me at this point. Like, I love when people come in and are so excited about the beverage.
Oh,
you know?
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
Folks come up and they try something and then go sit down, and that's fine. But like the someone who's a little like me, like nerdy, dorking out about it, you know, sitting at the bar and asking, like, what do you like about this? Can I try this one? And we've had a bunch of people come in. You know, we offer tasters of everything on draft.
Yeah.
And we have 19 ciders and a mead. And then that fruit stereo thing we just had, too, you know. So we have people come in and just taste through all of those things in our little one-ounce pours. So they're not wrecking themselves with 19,
but they identify what they do and don't like, and that helps us figure it out. And then we can recommend, you know, something else if it's not on draft.
And then you can bring in something later if not.
Right.
It's a lot of fun, too. We're getting a little bit of, like, free market research by seeing what sells so that when we get into making our own stuff, we can say, like, oh, this people really like that. Well, maybe I should try my hand at making something like that and see what we can do, you know?
Liz, my challenge to you is you should try to make a cider with Rio. I think you should get back there and just try.
He's going
to
hate every idea I throw at
That's fine. That's fine.
No way.
Okay, two words. Purple glitter.
No, we're not doing a glitter.
See? I told you. We won't do it.
She tricked me. That was a trick.
Okay, we'll work on that one, Rio.
Yeah,
all right?
At least for Pride Month. Come on. He's gonna outvote me.
Rio,
I'm not sure how that stuff behaves. We can
find out. That's only one way to find out. You got to do it. Just got to try it out.
So,
but Rio.
Maybe one cake.
One cake.
My challenge to you is don't stop, dude. Don't stop being you.
I don't think I could keep
the gas pedal on, man. You're killing it. You're crushing it. I think you guys are doing awesome things right here. I love this idea. I love this. What's going on? I hope you guys all the success in the world. If literally there is anything I can do as a friend, as a brewer, as a taste master, let
future
me know.
Future collaborator.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Rio, how you doing?
Definitely, dude.
Purple glitter, here we come.
I knew David would be in how my pocket.
Comes around. No, but seriously, guys.
I have a
guys,
few other ideas he might go for.
But I love this, and you guys are going to crush it.
We're really excited to be here. We're really excited to, you know, we've only been at the time of recording now, we've been open for about 6 weeks. Yeah. And we're really excited to engage with Utah. And,
yeah.
And just like the you know, everybody who comes in and smile, that's what I really love about this industry in general.
Oh, yeah.
Is seeing those epiphany moments, those aha moments of like someone finding something that they really like, or me explaining something and they get it and they taste it and they see it. That's right there in front of them and in their mouth and they love it. And that's why I do this. That's why I do what I do, is to share that with other people. And so just getting to keep doing that, I can't stop that.
I love that, Rio.
And that's why we picked Rio. Right.
And I think you guys made a great partnership. I think you guys are a great team. Keep going.
Thank you.
But I'm not going to push you. I think we should end on that one. Thanks, Rio. Until the next beverage, next cider, my friend.
Until the next cider, David.
Cheers.
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 This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.